the PU, back in computer. Here's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
See, there we go, telling lies again. It's Brandon Disney with Ken Colburn on a beach somewhere.
Hula hooping.
Hula hooping? You think it's hula hooping?
If that is a word.
By the way, that's Matt, and the other guy that was laughing is Chad. And Chad, are we recording this?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Okay, just want to make sure in case you miss any part of the show or you've already missed any part of the show, you can
listen to it over and over and over.
Keep listening now. But yeah, you can listen on demand a little bit later on at our website at datadoctors.com. You'll click on the radio show section and look for the audio archives, which will be listed right there. Of course, while you're at our site, you can check out this week's topic, which is wireless worries. And actually, it's not just about wireless worries. We're talking also about just wireless stuff in general. You'll see resources down below like essential wireless security practices and hidden dangers with public Wi-Fi, some things you might want to be aware of, wireless tips and tricks, no-hassle wireless networking, tips for securing your wireless network, and Wi-Fi goes Washington, whatever that means.
A little something interesting, that second one that you read, the hidden dangers with public Wi-Fi. When you go to like a Starbucks, say, and you're connecting to their wireless
network. Let's not call it Starbucks. Let's call it that coffee shop that has green block letters.
No, absolutely.
It has really expensive coffee that tastes really good.
Yeah, and what'll happen is hackers can jam the signal.
Yeah.
And so basically you're thinking you're connecting to that coffee shop's wireless network when you're actually just connecting to this hacker's wireless connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just sits there and kind of watches what people do and looks for
steals
stuff
data,
that he might want.
Gets their passwords.
Yeah. And all sorts of good
gets
stuff.
Gets some porn off the laptop. Who knows what he does? But he can be a bad guy, or she could be a bad guy, too. I guess she'd be a bad girl at that point. Anyway, they could be bad people, and you might not even know it. So there's some things you might want to just at least be aware of, and there might be some things you can do by following the link under the resource section at our website at datadoctors.com.
So when you're sipping
and clicking
coffee,
on the radio show.
When you're sipping that coffee, just, you know, look around.
Look for the guy with the shifty eyes or the gal with the shifty eyes.
That's right.
That's right. By the way, while you're there, you might want to subscribe to our newsletter. It's something we send out several times a week. It contains all kinds of cool tips and tricks and free download information and stuff just to kind of keep you in the know. There are no commercials, no ads, and you're not going to be put on somebody's spam list whatsoever because it's all completely on our technology and we make sure that we keep your stuff secure. But this week's newsletter included things like our tip of the week, which is a tip called Search While You Browse, a keyboard shortcut of the week, Control Tab. Did you know you could charge your batteries wirelessly? We've got links about that. What is a cable card? Did you know section talking about the range of your wireless network? And of course, a section there on Ken's column that'll be coming out on Monday in the Tribune newspapers, but you can get a free preview if you were subscribed to the newsletter, talking about paid online surveys and are they for real? Of course, this week's download of the week, SafeXP, which you can also find right from our website, and the Geek Speak of the Week, and some information about this week's show. So all that stuff you get by subscribing. You can do that anywhere at our site where you see the words subscribe and a place to put in your email address. You just put in your email address, click subscribe, and follow the basic instructions. It's very simple, and you'll get all kinds of cool information from time to time.
That's
how's
right.
That, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Geek Speak of the Week, war chalking.
Oh, he's is it time for Geek Speak of the Week, Chad?
I mean, you touched on it, so I thought might as well get into that. But
every week we talk about something, or we tell you something, or we bring you something, or we give you a word or phrase that we call our Geek Speak of the Week. It's something we try to edutain you or educate you with to be able to battle those geeks in your world. And this week's Geek Speak of the Week, of course, is war chalking. Why don't you tell us what war chalking is there, Chad?
War chalking probably isn't seen quite as much anymore, but in the early days of wireless networking, wireless networks were kind of rare and difficult to find. So what these individuals started doing was marking outside of buildings that were transmitting a wireless network.
Right.
And they would use special symbols to let other individuals know what type of security was on that network and what type of frequency it was using.
Basically, how to hook up,
right?
Exactly. And there would be little symbols and little X's and squiggly lines, but a lot like graffiti that you might see. It would just be using chalk right on the ground, right outside of a building or in the best place to stand to get a wireless signal, and oftentimes in fairly densely populated areas. And it was a way of, before the world of lots of hotspots, a way for somebody to maybe cruise around town and be able to be online all over the place.
So if you see anything like that outside your house, any strange symbols, it's probably not aliens.
Possibly not. Probably not.
Maybe, but probably not.
Right.
You could be war chalking.
Yeah. Could be. Or it could just be the kids out there playing with sidewalk chalk, and if it looks like a hopscotch kind of thing, I don't think that's the symbols they use.
Yeah, it's pretty safe.
Yeah.
But you never know for sure. Not. My kids like to draw on the driveway with the chalk.
Maybe they were war chalking.
Yeah. My boy's only three. I don't think he's really up to speed with war chalking
yet.
He's
a prodigy.
You never know. Why don't we see if we can help some people out on the phones? What do you think there, Matt?
I think that's a good idea.
We're going to go to Cindy, who has a Sony PC, and she has some ad on her desktop. And maybe we can help Cindy out. Cindy, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What can we help you with?
Well, I have an ad that's taken over my desktop. My wallpaper is missing.
Okay.
But I've got this pop-up ad that's there all the time.
It's in the background?
It's in the background.
Cool.
It's basically turned the whole screen black, and then it's a warning, you're in danger. And it's I run AdAware and also SpyBot to try to remove it.
Mm-hmm.
It removed a lot of other stuff, but this is still there. Every time I load the computer or turn the computer on, the first thing that comes up is it gives me that little pop-up sound, and then I'll get a run DLL error.
Okay.
And it'll say, program could not load or whatever.
Right.
And this pop-up has a removal instructions down the bottom, and if I'm online and I click on that, all it does is route me over to a website, smartsecurity.info.
Right.
And basically it wants me to buy some sort of thing to cleanse my hard drive.
Right, it wants you to buy something to remove the junk that it put on your computer.
Well, that was nice of it.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
that's
great. Nice.
Well, there's a couple different things we're going to start with here, and it sounds like AdAware and SpyBot might have done part of the job, and that's why you're getting this crazy error, but it didn't completely take care of the problem. And unfortunately, with AdAware and spyware these days, there's no one single product out there yet anyway that seems to be able to take care of anything no matter what the problem is when it comes to spyware and AdAware. So that's why we have different suggestions based on what the problem is you're having.
Okay.
In your case, a couple things I want to ask. You said you got AdAware and SpyBot. In both of those programs, there's an update feature. Did you use that feature before you tried running the programs?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Now, I haven't tried it again. I don't know how often. That was another question I had, is how often should I be updating it?
Well, certainly anytime you're having a problem like this,
okay.
I would update before you run the scan.
Okay.
Also, in the SpyBot Search and Destroy program, there's a little option that's not going to help with this, but you might want to make sure you click on, which is called Immunize.
Okay.
What that does is it goes in and kind of locks down and cleans up some things, or actually prevents certain areas of your computer from being exploited by future spyware, adware issues.
Okay.
So those are some things I would try. If it's still not taking care of the problem and that's still there, you might want to think about trying out that the Microsoft anti-spyware that's out. It's in beta form, so it is fairly new, but it seems to do a fairly good job where some others leave off.
Okay.
And you could get that right at Microsoft's website if you just go to Microsoft.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a link for it. It's a free download right now. It is still in beta format, so that means it's still kind of in development, and you're kind of a guinea pig.
Okay.
But at this point, you've got issues, so you're probably not going to make them a whole lot worse, and you might make them better.
Right. Okay.
So those are my couple suggestions for you. You guys have anything else you want to add to that?
No, just whatever anti-spyware program you're going to get, just keep it updated.
Yeah, keeping it up to date is such a huge thing, because these new tactics of spyware and adware are being changed and updated all the time, and people's defense for them keeps changing all the time. So up to date, even if you did it a few days ago, might be a lot different as far as what it can help protect you from and clean up today than it did a few days ago.
Right. This pop-up was the whole reason I even downloaded the two in the first place.
Right. And unfortunately, that's the industry is just now starting to trend towards having products to help prevent this kind of problem.
Okay.
But right now, most people, they're exactly in the same position you are, which is they don't do something about spyware and adware until after they have a problem, because there's not a product to deal with it proactively really out there yet. And sometimes the infection is so bad that there's nothing you, with a piece of software, are going to be able to do no matter what the software is. At some point, it may require some kind of professional assistance, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
So I give those things a shot and see where you get, and if not, then you might want to talk about or think about baking some cookies, inviting over your favorite tech friend, or finding some place that can take care of that for you.
Come camp out in front of my computer.
Yeah,
exactly.
I work for cookies.
do you really?
Yeah. You can find people like that. Bribery in the world of computer folks it works well, but keep in mind also that a lot of people think they know a lot about computers, and if they're there scratching their head after about 10 minutes of doing stuff and it doesn't seem like they're getting very far and they're going yeah, keep
just
looking.
Give them some cookies to go.
Yeah.
Well, I won't even serve the cookies until after 10 minutes.
There you go. Like, conserve your cookies. That's right.
All right. And did I hear you say that the Microsoft download may have a proactive feature in it so that if...
It actually does.
It does.
It does. The only reason I'm not like fully endorsing it is because it is still considered beta software. I'm using it on my PC, and I've installed it on my one at home and at work, and I've told some friends that are pretty technically oriented, and so far the feedback from the people that are that I've suggested it to is very good, but at the same time doesn't necessarily mean that that'll be the feedback for everybody. So
perfect.
You know, it probably at this point can't make things a whole lot worse, so nope. That's why I'm suggesting for you it might not be a bad idea.
All right, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, and good luck with that.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. You know, the thing with the anti-spyware program from Microsoft, like Adam brought out, It was a program purchased by this other company, Giant, who had already developed the software. So
right.
Even though it is beta, according to Microsoft,
mm-hmm.
Like you said, it seems to be a pretty stable program.
Should we tell the listeners a little secret about Microsoft? There's a little secret that a lot of you don't know. Microsoft these days doesn't really develop much in the way of software. What they actually do is redevelop software. And much of what they do in most of the products that have come out in the last couple of years, a lot of the new features to operating systems and a lot of the new the applications and things that they're adding on, instead of going out and inventing the wheel themselves, they buy somebody else's wheel that works pretty well, and then they go ahead and Microsoft it up, which means fix it up and make it integrate with the operating system a little bit better, and usually make it a lot prettier.
Put the logo on there.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's what they do. So it's not a brand new product per se. It's just brand new to Microsoft, and it's being redeveloped by them. So that's why it's still considered that beta software. But it's better than what you might be used to in the old days of beta, because it truly is a developed product that's just kind of getting a facelift and stuff and some junk.
That's right.
That's it.
We're going to take a quick break. We've got David, who has satellite broadband questions, Sue and Bert, and a line open for you at 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner, News Radio 620 KTAR.